The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothas. What a glorious night across Merseyside. Keep it tuned to Radio City and Radio City Talk for the next hour. And get your calls in to John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Are we well?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Much going on in your heads, footballing wise?
The weather makes you feel
better.
Yeah.
You know, bit of golf now, we're getting into golf. Fair weather. Sharpie plays in rain, sun, snow.
Sharpie played with Tommy Fleetwood yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Brilliant, mate, yeah.
What an experience.
You teach him something.
Oh, no, he was absolutely brilliant. What an experience. Watch golf for a long time, see them, you think, yeah, they're decent players and all that kind of thing. But when you get up close, he was unbelievable. Shot 5 under. At Birkdale off the Whites, which was incredible,
and it was just a joy. Get our money on him for day.
I tell you what,
have a little.
I've played Birkdale a few times, and I thought really, really tough. He made it look like Bootle Muni. He did. Honestly, it was unbelievable. It was a pleasure to play with him, pleasure to watch him. Really nice guy, and we had a good day.
Brilliant. There's a good connection with both Liverpool and Everton with the Open Championship, isn't there? Mm-hmm. With the months that lie ahead, both clubs are sort of in bed with the Open Championship. That sort of football golf link. It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not too far away, right? Brilliant. Whatever you want to get your calls in about tonight, you can. Liverpool against Southampton's 1:30 on Sunday. Good job, Sharpie.
Yeah.
Informed me of the time.
O'clock.
I was heading there for four, John. I think it's end of the season syndrome.
I'd have told you, Steve.
No, you wouldn't. Not a chance. Swansea Everton 5:30 on Saturday, and the mighty Tranmere. And we'll catch up with Mark Palios a little bit later on.
What's that game last night?
They
played very
3-0.
Well.
They beat Aldershot.
Very well. Yeah.
Great result.
What's it mean in the playoff scenario?
Well,
do you think?
You know, you can never take nothing for granted in football. We know that. We've seen it so many times. And I remember around about 2000, Blackpool went to Bradford and won 3-0. When it's away from home, Sam Allardyce was the manager of Bradford. Blackpool, and they came back, and they had the Wembley route on in the programme, and they got beat. Bradford turned them over 4-0 or something.
Get carried away.
That's a lesson. That is a lesson, because things can happen. That's mad in football. So you just, it's just a professional job at home.
Mickey will be telling us that can happen, kind of thing. But you'd like to think that Tranmere are favourites to go through and hope they go through, kind of thing. But Mickey will make sure he's, listen, as John quite rightly said, it's happened before. You know, just make sure it doesn't happen to us. So, listen, if they get the first goal, you know, Tranmere.
It's all over.
Yeah, all over. Yeah.
Right, we'll talk with Mark Palios in about 20 minutes' time. One of the big stories, of course, dominating headlines for a couple of days has surrounded Aaron Lennon at Everton Football Club. Very sad from what you read, but it seems like he's getting the right help and advice now. I know we can't really sort of give any more detail on what's happened behind it, but it's a shame when you hear this
thing. Listen, what a lovely guy, you know, and you just don't know what the person next is going through. We wish him, you know, a speedy recovery,
absolutely.
And as we quite rightly said, that, you know, everybody is behind him and hopefully get through this. But as I said, we don't really know too much. We'll just send our best wishes to Aaron. As I said, my dealings I've had with him, He's been brilliant. I done a school visit with him about a month ago, and he was great with the kids. So listen, you just don't know. I think the PFA have come out today and said that they've got so many calls from Premiership players and Championship players dealing with the issue, you know, mental health. So, you know, it's a big issue. And as I said, fingers crossed, Aaron can get better.
Do you think there was a time when football clubs didn't deal with that issue of mental health very correctly? Was it almost sort of frowned upon or ignored?
You never really heard about it, did
no.
you? No, you just didn't seem to be there in football, you know.
And yet people around you must have had some of those issues.
Yeah.
I mean, a good friend of yours, Daley and Atkinson.
Well,
so obviously there's people who've had issues. Stan's one, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, it has existed there, but maybe clubs haven't offered enough support.
Yeah. I think the surprising thing about it, you expect it to happen sometimes when you come out of football.
Yeah.
Like me and Sharpie went like from a manager, player manager, manager, that's diluting it in a way. It's ready to come off it. Because football's a drug in many ways, as you know. But people who all of a sudden have got the banter of the changing rooms, and then all of a sudden they're outside of that. As much money they've got, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's very, very hard for some people. They can't adapt.
Every day.
Innit? So I think that's from that point of view, that perspective, there's been a lot of players in the past that's suffered that way. But for them to be in the environment at a very young age, really, for a footballer, it's a shock, yeah. Hopefully, you know, he can get himself sorted. You know,
I mean, it got into your head, didn't it, by the time you left Tranmere Rovers? You know, again, I'm not saying it was a mental health issue, but you had a cloud over your head, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Me missus said I've been mental for a long time. No, all joking apart. No, you're right. But, you know, when I come out of the game, it takes you a while to adjust, doesn't it, Sharpie? You've been in it for so long, John,
and every day you're occupied.
Yeah.
Every day you're occupied. Listen, I don't know what the situation with Aaron, but John's right. You know, after you come out of football, you know, Clark Carlisle is a prime example recently as well. So it is. It's a worry. You know, and as John said, in our day we didn't really notice it. You know, it could have went on, but we didn't really get updated about it. But you know, it's sad. So hopefully we can get him back on the road soon and on the road to recovery.
Okay. At least they've got it. They've got it at the right time. They've nipped in the bud, hopefully, and hopefully they can sort Aaron out.
Good luck to Aaron, his family, and his friends. Right, at the press conference today, Ronald Koeman talking. He said he won't be the next Barcelona manager. Let's just hear from Ronald. We'll take some of your calls in a moment or two. But he's played down comments that he made regarding the managerial position at Barcelona. Here's Ronald Koeman.
I mentioned several times that I think it's human ambition. Like, what that means for players, that means for managers, and that's not changing my position or my contract with Everton. I'm really happy to be in Everton. I'm looking forward for next season. It's a big project, and I will be part of that project, but... And okay, the interview is coming out of 25 years ago that we won the title in Wembley. Okay, and then it's normal that they will ask me questions about the Barcelona job, but it's no chance that I will leave Everton before the end of my contract.
I was going to say, because you did say in it as well that I now owe Everton, so what exactly do you mean by that? What do you feel you owe this football club?
Yeah, because... when I got the offer of Everton, it was not about this season. It was about a project that we like to change things, that we like to develop the team, and that we like to make the team stronger to have really competition and to the big six in the Premier League. And already in this season, we showed that we are close.
So Ronald has stated he's at Everton until the end of his contract, Sharpie.
Listen, it's making mountains out of molehills again. He was asked the questions. He said it's 25 years since Barcelona won the European Cup. And he's over there and they've thrown a question in and he's answered it as honest as he can. You know, who would not be interested in managing Barcelona? Who would not be interested in playing for the best team in the world or whatever kind of thing? Everybody has their own personal ambition. You know what? I said there was something the other day, and somebody castigated it for me again in the terms of, like, you know, with Lukaku and about agents and players being more powerful now. They are, but it's the newspaper and that twists things, you know, and they try to make things happen. And it was the furthest thing away from what the actual interview was about. So Ronald's been honest as he always has been. But I wouldn't take anything out of it. You know, I think he's 3-year contract. I think it's a 3-year contract. Yeah, and he'll see that out. Hopefully, he'll stay. If he's doing a good job, he'll stay and sign a new one. You know, but let's wait and see. You know, people are making up stories and wanting to stir things up, and I don't think there's anything to stir up.
To the phone lines on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sports. Please gamble responsibly. Loads more information on the website, radiocity.co.uk. First up tonight, Gary. Evening, Gary.
All right, lads. You all right?
All right, Gary. Gosh.
All right, Graham. Yeah, I mean, I lost at the Chelsea game, Graham, and a lot of people said, oh, Koeman sort of set up to sort of nullify Chelsea, and, you know, we should have just done what we've been doing the last few weeks in our own games. But you look at the personnel we had available that game, Graham, and people had to change. I mean, Schneiderlin, massive big miss for us. And then Ross had to go deeper then. You know what I mean? So that sort of changed his sort of game. So you look at the personnel that we never had for that game to go and do what we normally been doing. And we couldn't do that.
No.
You know, I think you just highlighted that, you know, we need two new centre-halves, two young centre-halves, a new keeper, you know. And and I think the next few months going forward, I want to see sort of as soon as that window opens, you know, two centre-halves, a keeper, get them in early and let's try and hit the ground running for next season. You know what I mean, Greg?
Yeah, Gary, I think what you're seeing, that you did set up to nullify. I think that's when young Calvert-Lewin played in the left to stop Moses coming bombing down the right-hand side. So I think you did try and do it to put Idrissa Gueye on Eden Hazard. So he did set out. Listen, managers do that. And I can understand some people saying just go with the way we've been playing. But the manager set out to do this. And listen, first half, it wasn't bad. But I just thought, you know, the first goal was a worldie. The second goal was a goalkeeper's mistake. By that time, the game is finished. I honestly thought that the two lads at the back, Williams and Jags, did okay against Costa. You know, I think where we suffered, well, for me, was the final third, where Romelu was quiet, Ross Barkley, as you said, was quiet. We didn't really have any threat. And I think the difference in the two teams came in the final third. I think they had quality, Pedro, Hazard, Costa. That's what we've got to try and achieve, Gary, in the next few transfer windows, as you said.
But as we said,
and as you said, the summer, it's going to be massive. You know, we need to get in 6, 7, 8 players. It's now the possibility, can we get these players that we want into the football club?
Yeah, obviously you're thinking on the same lines as me. I mean, you look at the two centre-halves, I think people are talking about, you know, the two lads from Burnley. I'd probably take the two of them from Burnley, Ben Mee and Mike Keane, is it? Do you know what? I mean, looking at that, Harry Maguire, you know, from Hull as well. But, you know, what we've got to offer these lads is probably regular first-team football. Champions League teams are going to offer them contracts now, like Van Dijk, you know. But they mightn't play every week there.
That's right.
So we've got to offer them, you know, first-team football from the start, which will obviously make them grow into better players and regular playing. You know what I mean? So, to be honest with you, on the centre-half, I'd keep that what we've got. Cause we probably need four next season as we go into the Europa. I'd keep Jagielka, but out of doubt. I might look at maybe moving Williams back to Swansea, see if he can get 10 million off Gylfi Sigurdsson, maybe him coming this way. You know what I mean? I'd have him in our midfield, you know. And I think that's what we've got to look at, Graham, and really sort of, you know, hit the ground running next season. I don't want to be going into like 2 weeks before the season starts and or waiting for paperwork to clear on one fellow, one lad we're waiting for the answer on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good show.
First 6 games of the season, you need to be right in that top four, you know, 4 wins, maybe a couple of draws, really to set your stall out. And that's what I want Everton to do next season, you know what I mean?
Gary, it's right, and listen, we all do, you know, just as we all know as well, transfers are never easy, you know, trying to get, you talked about the two boys, Mick Keane, at Burnley. Yeah, listen, but, you know, I think the project we're looking at, or the manager's looking at, is getting a team that's ready to do battle for the top six. Now, that won't be easy in the summer, let me tell you, you know, with other options that players will have at their, in front of them. So it's up to us, you know. We've now got a director of football, if you like, Steve Walsh. So, you know, I'm sure they will be very busy in the summer, hopefully trying to get the better players in.
Good stuff, Gary. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed.
Just one quick one before we go. Saturday's probably not the time to do, but Watford game, maybe let's give John Joe Kenny a go right back. Let's get Kieran Dowd in the midfield. Let's give them a go on the last game of the season. Probably a Swansea. No, let's go there for a win. But last game of the season, let's get these young lads in. And let's give them half an hour even there. You know
you're right, Gary, because as I said, the European football is guaranteed next year, so that may be an option for the manager.
Good luck. Thank you very much, Gary. See you later. It's 7:15. Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Legends. Some European action tonight. Manchester United with quite an important game. Celta Vigo against Manchester United. He's all but indicated, hasn't he, that he's going to play a weakened side in the Premier League from now on. Mm-hmm. Just focus on the Europa League. I think that's understandable, isn't it?
Do what he wants, can't he?
Yeah. You think they'll win it, John?
Just hope Iago Aspas does the business tonight, to be quite honest.
That'll be the first time you've been cheering Iago's name for a while.
You can't see, to be fair, there's not an awful lot to stop Man United. They're the strongest team out. Even though they don't play expansive football, it's based on defensive football now, but they're a very, very difficult team to beat. And Ajax, good team, don't get me wrong, but you know, you couldn't put your money on another team without other than Man United.
And my team, who I tipped, Juventus, probably going to go through to the final.
What do you mean you tipped?
In the quarterfinals, I tipped them.
No, you never.
Yes, I did. Who were you tipping? I'm sure you tipped Monaco, didn't you?
No, I did not. I did not. I said it would be Real Madrid or Juventus.
Did you?
Hmm?
Both going to get there, surely now. Right, a 6:45. We'll take some more calls. We'll also catch up with the Tranmere chairman, Mark Palios, next on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
We're here until 7:30. If you want to get involved, 01514720967. Right, we haven't really reflected on the Watford against Liverpool game yet. This was a fixture last season that inflicted Jurgen's worst ever defeat on him in a 3-0 defeat. But Liverpool bounced back this year with a 1-0 win.
Yeah. I have to say, it wasn't a great performance. But, you know, the lads went about it really well. Again, I think they've learned the lesson. And it sank in now, you know, to go to Stoke, West Brom and Watford, which was always our Achilles heel, them games, and to come away with 9 points is brilliant. You know, and got from Mignolet, the back four, all they're doing is just dealing with the route one, with the physicality of the teams ringing, the set plays, and we've ground three results out, we've ground three wins out, you know, and it's not been spectacular. But that's what you've got to do. That's what good teams do to win leagues, you know, go to them places and come away with just the 3 points one way or another. Okay, if you play great and you played 3-0 and whatever, but that doesn't always happen. And Liverpool, all of a sudden, I think psychologically it's been a big marker for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp and like some Mignolet in the back four in particular, you know. And in a way, I think that the midfield three that we've had in Lucas, Sean and Wijnaldum, who were, you know, more three defensive players rather than Henderson, where he's a bit more progressive. I think that's actually helped Liverpool in a way to deal with it, because Lucas has done a great job in them three games. Absolutely brilliant. Pivotal in that little sitting role. You know, very disciplined. You know, when we get the ball, the two centre-half spread out, he sits in there. And he's been brilliant as well. As the goalkeeper, they've probably been our two most consistent players in them three games.
So was Emre Can's goal the goal of the season, Sharpie?
No.
No, you can't just dismiss it like that.
I can, yeah, there's other
ways. Why can you dismiss it like
because
that?
Because I can.
It's in the top five, isn't it, surely?
Well, it's not the top. You've asked me a question, I've said no.
Yeah, but right, you said it with that
glint in
your eye.
What about the one that Giroud and the other one scored with the back heel?
Hey,
overhead.
Mkhitaryan. He had the scorpion kick. Andy Carroll with the overhead kick. Giroud's in there. And Pedro's from the weekend, I thought was sensational.
But Chan's was a fabulous goal. Absolute fabulous.
But John thinks it's goal of the season.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I think it's close. It's hard, really, because the other two that he said, the Scorpio kicks, the balls were coming from behind them, from the side. The one thing I'll say about Emre Can's goal, it betters Carroll's, because when a ball's coming directly for a cross, you can see it, you know where the goal is. It's 90 degrees. That's easier. When a ball's coming from behind you and you're running and you've got to, like, hook it from behind to do it, technically, that's so, so difficult. It was a great, great goal. And it's up there. You know, I'll be biased and say, because, you know, Liverpool fan. But yeah, it's up there with the others.
Harder to shape his body, then. Is that right, Sharpie?
Yeah,
I think it's harder to score a scorpion kick. You do your back in.
So Mkhitaryan is your goal of the season, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
You see, I think it's Olivier Giroud. Dave Schademeyer is offside.
Yeah, the two of them. Yes.
Oh, it's up there. You don't see goals like that every day.
I think
Emre
Can was a fabulous goal. But you asked me, did I think it was a goal of the season? No.
I scored a goal at Everton, and Sharpie remembered this. Newport County, we drew 1-1 at Sutton Park in the FA Cup. She'd scored the last minute goal to keep Everton in the cup. And then we come back to Goodison Park the following Tuesday. We're getting beat 1-0. I think Sharpie scored the first, I think. He got the smite, got the second. And Jim Arnold was in goal. And a ball come across from a throw and then got round about the penalty spot, and I had my back towards goal, and an overhead scissor kick, top corner, one of the best goals I've ever scored in my life, made up. But then Everton went up 2 minutes later and scored the winner. We got beat 2-1. So
I remember Jim Arnold was 75 at the time. I saw him at the game on Sunday against Chelsea. Yeah.
Right, let's see if our next guest has scored an overhead scissor kick in his career. The Tranmere chairman, Mark Palios. Evening, Mark.
Evening, guys.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, mate.
I take it you've not got one of those in your locker then, Mark.
Do you know what? Nicky will tell you this. Unfortunately, there aren't any television cameras. I actually did once from outside the box or on the edge of the box. It was one of those ones whereby a guy just drilled. It was against Hereford. We went 1-0 up and we lost 6-1. And the coach said to me, you should have annoyed him.
Be too early.
Anyway. You and John have got something in common there, haven't you? Right, let's reflect on a wonderful win for Tranmere. I mean, look, sometimes in the playoffs, just a 1-0 win might be an OK margin. But 3-0 against Aldershot, you must be over the moon.
Yeah, no, it was a great night, and I think you know, the experience of the lads, they all had a rest, and I don't know whether you saw it, but last weekend we sent our youth team down to
done great, didn't they? Yeah,
which was great. You know, it was great for the atmosphere around the club, and a lot of fans had travelled and they bought their tickets not knowing what was going on, and when the young lads went down there, we were just hoping that they'd put up a creditable performance, but it also gave the first team a chance to rest, which was important because we've been playing Saturday, Tuesday. And last night, I mean, for me, Aldershot were probably the hardest team in the playoffs because they were a youngish side. They were very mobile, very athletic, and they've given us a good game at Prenton Park.
They've been on a big run as well, Mark, Andy. They've been on a great run,
20-odd games, and they've lost once. And you know what that's like in terms of giving you confidence as a player. But, no, on the night... We got off to a great start, and equally, I don't know if you've seen the second goal. Well, that was a bit of a gift, but we haven't had a great deal of luck, so we'll take that. But
just a little bit wobbly before half time. They came into the game with about 15 minutes before half time, didn't they? And they hit the bar, didn't they? You know, and
that's right.
A couple of little skirmishes, but the defense, you know, they were calm. They didn't panic at all throughout the game. I was really impressed. And you said the second goal, the goalie had the nightmare, but it doesn't matter. Mm. You know, and then the third goal just puts the icing on the cake, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it was one of those ones where you looked at it, it was a professional performance, and we got what we deserved at the end of the day. Because there's a number of times in the first half when we actually, you know, you're coming into their box, and just like we scored the third one, you had overloads and things like this, and chances to get shots away. But so, you know, if we'd been two up at half time, that wouldn't have been an injustice, in fairness. But then I see it through those tinted glasses.
Do you know what, Mark? Do you remember we were speaking early December, wasn't it, when we had that night out print?
Yeah.
And you said something to me then, and it stuck with me. You said you had these people in looking at various fitness ways with the players, you know. And you're saying the way he's worked with the players, it should kick in the second half of the season. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the scientific advantages what you've got nowadays. And it's happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we brought sports science in when we virtually arrived. And for me, it is about... pacing your players a lot more, and especially in this league, you know, it's Saturday, Tuesday, and it's quite hard going. And so putting the sports science team is one thing, getting a squad that was large enough to take the strain in the second half of the season was another, and then being in touch at Christmas, which we were, because we turned the new year at the top of the league. But having said that, we've had tremendous injuries, so we've needed the squad. I mean, we had the two lads who were starting to rip it up on the wings, and we lost them within 20 minutes. We've got two broken legs, two really severe ACLs, etc. You know, so there's been a few things that have all pulled together to make sure we can still compete even at this stage of the season.
Mark, what are you expecting the crowd to be? Do you think it's 10,000?
Well, great. I'd love to see it at 10,000. We've got 10,000 for a third round tie against Swansea, and they only brought 900. So it should do, because, you know, effectively, you're 90 minutes from Wembley. I know we're 3-0 up, but we're 90 minutes from Wembley. Mm. And Mickey's taken the right approach. I mean, although you remember, there was a team at Tranmere, that Premier League side, that was 3-0 up in the same game and lost 4-3. So, you know, you can't take anything for granted. Mm.
Yep, absolutely.
Best turnaround in the FA Cup ever. Mm. So, We would hope that the people of Merseyside should come along. I don't think Everton and Liverpool are playing. on the Saturday. And the atmosphere is fantastic. It's electric at the moment. Mm. So we'd like to see us go out with a bang. It's our last game at home this season.
And if you get to Wembley, please God, will you have more than 29,000? That's what we took when we played Leicester in the, obviously, in the Winter Cup final. Would there be a chance of getting 29,000 Tranmere fans there again?
Well, I don't know, but we took a lot of Liverpool and Everton fans as well that day.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the things that's great about Merseyside. The club's actually well liked by both Reds and Blues. Mm, yeah. And so, you know, we're more than happy for them to come along and support us and that. And that's somewhere we'll look to. Well, like everybody else, you know what it's like. You're a bit superstitious. You won't even plan that until you actually know where we get to after the game on Saturday.
So have you arranged some transport from Liverpool to the ground? Is there something being laid on?
Yeah. The soccer bus is running. And that's because there are people who can get across from Liverpool quite easily. Mm-hmm. It goes from Dale Street about 10:30, then Victoria Street and then Lime Street. And it goes about 11:30 as well. So there's two buses. It's an early kickoff. It's a 12:15 kickoff. So 10:30 Dale Street, you know, couple of minutes later, Victoria Street, then Lime Street, and then 11:30 again.
Yeah, but I think that's a brilliant idea because, you know, as you say about Liverpool playing on the Sunday and Everton's kickoff not till about half five on the Saturday, so it's an ideal opportunity to get along and support Tranmere, definitely.
And I tell you what, the atmosphere will be amazing.
Yeah,
what was your favourite atmosphere, John, as manager? Was it the...
Do you know what?
The Sunderland game, the Leicester game?
No, I was going to see when he beat Everton. Watch this.
No, that was great at Goodison Park. It was when we beat Bolton. In the semi-final to get to Wembley. That was brilliant that night. We put some placards on all the seats, you know, this is your one chance to get behind the team to get us to Wembley. And every one of the fans responded and it was done and dusted by 20 minutes into the game. It's brilliant.
You can create those atmospheres. Mark, the very best of
good
luck.
Good luck, Mark.
See you.
Oh, and actually, just before you go, it's a kit launch as well at the weekend, isn't it, for anyone who's interested Tranmere-wise?
It's absolutely mad. We're launching the kit as well. Mm. That's 9 o'clock in the club shop. But then later on, we'll be opening up all those, and also the fan zone as well. So we'll be selling the kit, the next year's kit there as well, so people can get that. And if you want a ticket to see Madness or the Libertines, as we've got the World Live concert in about 2 weeks' time, you get a free ticket with Madness and or Libertines if you buy the new shirt. So
bang up your street, John.
Seen them last night. We were on Benidorm last night.
Mark, best wishes. Speak
see
soon.
You, Mark.
There we go. Mark Palios, the Tranmere chairman. Right, lots of parties going on at the moment. There's one on Monday night as well. John is the chair of the former players association, Liverpool former players. So they all get together once a year for a big fundraising event. The likes of John, Robbie Fowler, all the boys get there. Hopefully, I don't want to mention too many names just in case they're not there, but some very important Liverpool names are going to go. And you've just said to me, it's been so successful, you've just extended the opportunity for people to get involved if they want to go down
there. Obviously, it's a great night. We're honouring the 77 side, obviously, with the, you know...
Oh, 40 years on, 40th anniversary,
First won the Champions League, well, the European Cup at the time.
So who's that, Clem?
Is Clem going? No. A lot of the players of that team are not too good at the moment. Clem has got problems. He just can't make it. But there's a good quota in turning up. A lot of ex-players there. It's a great event. Peter McDowell, your friend, and... it's just great. And there is a couple of tables. Well, there'll be about 20-odd spaces left.
Right, so if people anyone do want to go. One.
We can squeeze. We're just at the table so we can get some more people in there.
What do they do? How do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, Jim Donaldson. Jim Donaldson and...
is he on Twitter or something?
Jim's phone number, I'll give you his.
Don't give phone numbers out on the air,
email address.
Phone numbers on the air. If people want to... I'll tell you what, during the break, we'll find out. We will tweet out the
He's all right.
The link.
Jim's all right. He's no problem either way.
I'm not worried about Jim. I'm worried about us for giving his phone number. I don't know Jim. If you want to get involved in that one with John on Monday night, which I'm sure turns into a raucous occasion, does it? You get a first-team player down there as well, don't you? Give them the player of the season.
Yes, we do.
So there will be, and perhaps you could guess who that's going to be. More information on that via our Twitter feed. We'll put it on there very shortly indeed. Dave's just whispering in my ear, is Alberto Moreno the player of the year? It's a bit naughty, isn't it? A bit naughty. Right, more of your calls next on the Radio City Legends. It's 4 minutes past seven. 0151 4720 967. Stay right there.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
Merseyside legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Call now 0151 472 0967. Red and blue, banter and debate. The legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7 minutes past seven. It is the Radio City Legends with 888 Sports. So there's a bit of action tonight. UEFA Europa League semi-final, Celta Vigo, Man United. There's some action in the Sky Bet League One. The playoffs commencing with Bradford, Fleetwood and Millwall Scunthorpe. And then, of course, in the Vanarama National League is the second of the semi-playoffs. We spoke with the Tranmere chairman, Mark Palios, earlier. But Dagenham against Forest Green tonight. And in the Women's Super League, Arsenal against Liverpool.
And I've got to have a shout-out here as well.
Go on.
I want to say congratulations to Wirral under-15s who won the National Cup today, beating Swansea 2-1. So congratulations to them.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it was also a success for the City of Liverpool team as well, wasn't there, at the weekend? Who lifted a little bit of silverware. Yeah. The trophy was in earlier on. Dave was lifting
brilliant.
It. Right, let's get on to look who's scoring. So this is finally poised. Apparently now it's 1-1 between producer Dave and you two.
What?
So let's get on to
Hold on a minute.
Oh, no, actually. Stop disturbing me. It's 2-0 to the Legends,
exactly.
Dave. Be quiet, right? Here we go. Let's get going. 5 points here. Born in 1971, this player. And he spent 19 of his 20 playing years in England with four Premier League clubs. Okay? He isn't English. So born in 1971, and he spent 19 of his 20
Peter Schmeichel.
Playing years. Oh, that's an early guess,
wasn't
it?
That, wasn't it?
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it? It really was.
Okay, anything else to add, John? No. Right, not 4 points. He's a Premier League and an FA Cup winner with one club and a multiple League Cup winner with another. He won at least one trophy in 6 of the 10 years starting in 1990. So in 6 of the 10 years starting in 1990, he won at least one trophy. Who are we talking about?
League Cups.
Premier League winner? FA Cup winner. Play along at home if you can. If you know the answer, tweet us at Radio City or at Radio City Talk. What club are we thinking, boys?
Yeah.
What club are you thinking?
Arsenal, Man U, yeah.
This is getting classical.
That's not to say that's wrong, by the way. 3.74 games, 19 goals for his country.
Hold on, say that again.
74 games. 74 games. John's writing this down. 19 goals for his country. And he helped his country qualify for their first ever World Cup in 2006. Oh. Come on, that's a cracker of a clue.
2006.
Do you remember back 2006?
No.
Do you remember the World Cup?
No.
2006. That was in France.
No. John, get your head behind that microphone when you're talking, will you? Where was the 2006 World Cup? None of us can remember in the studio. Oh, it was in Germany. There we go. Right, he was the Champions League top goal scorer in a year in the late 90s. Late 90s. He was the top scorer in the Champions League.
Come on. Not Perez.
So it's obviously an English club. Right, okay. He had a brief spell in Australia. A brief spell in Australia.
Van Nistelrooy.
No.
That was pathetic, Steve.
Yeah, that was awful.
I haven't
it?
Finished
so
this.
So, what did you say? One league. One
I haven't finished this one.
Top scorer Premiership, and then what did you say?
I said he was the Champions League top goal scorer in a year in the late 90s.
Yeah.
All right. For 1 point, he had a brief spell in Australia, and he returned to England for another stint in the Premier League.
Tim Cahill.
Was part of a side that famously lost a match 7-1 to Everton.
What?
7-1 to Everton.
Dave's praying here.
7-1. Not 7-1. Sunderland.
Come on. Have a guess. Have a final guess.
Robbie Fowler.
That doesn't stack up, does it?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
It'll be all right on the. It'll be all right on the.
Night.
Dwight.
Dwight York.
I never even knew it till you've told me.
No.
That's absolutely correct. There you go. The producer, Dave, has finally won. No. It was Dwight York. No. That's who the clue's related to. Yeah. Pretty good Premier League FA Cup winner with one club,
United,
multiple League Cup winner.
United, you said no, wasn't?
Yeah.
No, and then at the very end, I turned around and I said, no, that's not true.
So that put us off, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're claiming that's void?
Yeah, it did, but that's why I wasn't thinking about Man United.
Right, okay. Oh, still 2-0. We might have to replay that one next week.
Four clubs,
right, here we go. 12 minutes past seven. It's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sports. Yeah, John's claiming a steward's inquiry.
What was
these
four clubs? United, Villa, Blackburn, and who?
Sunderland.
Sunderland's right.
You're trying to catch him out, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're thinking he's giving you duff information. Yeah. Right, just before we get to our next caller, we thought we'd play you this little funny from the other day. So Brendan Rodgers involved in a Q&A on the stage up north of the border, of course, in his role as Celtic manager. And he was asked during the Q&A, who's the best player you've ever coached?
Brendan, who is the best player you have ever coached?
Nice little punchline from Brendan there.
Should have just said Steve Gerrard, shouldn't he?
He should have done, really.
Sounds that, like that's a nice quiet audience up in Glasgow.
Is that what you get? So someone then asked Mario, didn't they?
Yeah, somebody asked Balotelli, who was the best coach you've worked under, and he went, Brendan Rodgers. So he got his own back a little
bit.
A bit
of mutual respect going on there.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Quarter past seven. We'll try and squeeze three in. First up, Kenny. Evening, Ken.
Hello, lads. How are we?
Kenny.
Hello, Ken.
Not too bad. John, it's obviously I'm just made up, obviously, with the news with the two Liverpool icons the last week or so, obviously, with Stevie being confirmed as the under-18s manager, and obviously now they've just named a stand after Kenny. I think it's just great news, you know, for the club, and it's just good to see that they're doing now, and I'm just made up with that.
Yeah, but it's what fans want. Yeah, Steve Gerrard in particular. You know, I think it's going to be fantastic for the club going forward. You know, Kenny, what he's done for the club. You know, some people can't split the two of them. Who's the best player ever played to Liverpool? I always ask audiences when I'm hosting events, and because the younger audiences, they do sway for Stevie Gerrard. But yeah, obviously what Kenny done, yeah, it's replicating what Man United did with Ferguson did with the stand.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kenny would be absolutely delighted, as is Stevie. You know, obviously with the role of hopefully getting the kids through, you know, down the line for us.
I mean, obviously, I think the long-term plan, obviously, for Stevie is obviously, it looks like it's going to be, it's the first team, isn't it? That looks like that's what the plan is. It's all set in place for Stevie, obviously starting with the 18s. And I just think we're all just wishing them the best of luck. And obviously, you know, in a few years' time, not that I'm wishing Jürgen, obviously, he can go, because we're all made up with Jürgen, you know what I mean?
But
I just think we all can't wait for the day. Obviously, Stevie then becomes the successor to Jürgen, to be honest with you. And obviously, it'll be I think it'll be great if that really happens, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's just his infancy, isn't it? You know, his apprenticeship, Steve. But he's a very, very clever, astute lad. He knows what he wants and what he's going for. I'm just delighted that he stayed in football, to be quite honest. I'd love Carra to have stayed in football as well, you know, at the club in some way or form as a coach.
Yeah, it's a strange one now with Carragher, isn't it? Because he looks the type to make a great coach. He motivates Gary. Obviously he's quite happy doing what he's doing on Sky, and he does a good job, in fairness. But I just think what a loss to football, because he's the type of man that I'd play for, you know what I mean?
That's the feeling, you know, with myself, you know, I think he had so much to give. But yeah, obviously, that's the road that Carra wanted to go on, and he's brilliant at it. You know, he does a great job for Sky. So delighted that Steve's, you know, got the bit between his teeth. And he loves it. You know, he absolutely loves it, which is even, you know, even better.
How much does it put Carra back that he hasn't gone straight into that sort of management scenario?
Who?
Jamie, no, I'm saying, say wanting to be a manager a little bit further down the line. Is it tougher, or is it just a straightforward?
You never know. Things happen, and you know.
Well, Gary Neville walked into Valencia, didn't he?
Things happen, and it could happen, but I don't know. You know, it's hard to say whether he'd be a success or not. But certainly, I think Jamie's very, very sensible. He's very knowledgeable about football. You know,
but I think with Gary Neville, I think he kept his hands in with England, didn't he? He sort of kept involved.
That's right.
Side, didn't he?
That's right.
Whereas
yeah.
Jamie's gone completely out of it. Where I think Gary, he kept both feet in both camps. He kept himself involved from the telly bit, and then he left a little door open for himself.
He played it quite well,
Gary Neville.
He slammed the door in his own face, didn't he, by taking something on. I thought he was a bit more astute and cleverer than that. That going to a country like Spain and it's completely and utterly different. You know, even if he didn't speak Spanish, you know, he left himself open big time. I knew he was going to have a nightmare there, and he did. But he's got a second bite of the cherry. He's back involved now, you know, with the telly, and that's where he's better off staying, I think.
Kenny, nice one. Thank you very much indeed. Good evening,
sir. Good evening, boys.
Right, let's get on to Ian, who's next up on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Hello, Ian.
Hello, boys. You okay?
Hello, Ian.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, ask John a question regarding do you think your centre-half should be the captain of Liverpool, someone at the back who can see everything and obviously lead the game from there? Obviously, at this moment in time, I don't think there's a centre-half at the club at the moment who could take that post, but
yeah.
as Klopp should be kind of, in my opinion, I think Klopp should be looking at a leader from the back. You know, we can kind of... Because that last minute when he put the cross in the other night,
yeah,
and he nearly scored off it.
Yeah.
That's where we suffer all the time. You know, that last minute when you throw one into the box, and we should be clearing them and you know, but everyone's like panicking. Can you see? You can see a goal coming off. We're just lucky there they never scored.
Well, Ian, I'm quite old-fashioned in football in many ways. I think Sharpie's a little bit like me. The teams we played with, you know, in Scotland, or I started off in Wales and went to Oxford and Ireland. All my captains were centre-halves, and that's what it was in them days. I prefer a captain to be a centre-half, because, as you say, it's in front of him. He leads, he's a leader, he's a shouter, he can see things, he can order, and I was used to that. Obviously, you know, you can have captains all over the pitch, and they do have a large say, and they've got to have a large say in the result, you know, because they've got to relate the manager's thoughts on the pitch. But there's been some great midfield captains, you know, Stevie G from Liverpool point of view, Graeme Souness, you know, and so forth, and from Everton as well. So it doesn't matter. A captain's it's got to be a leader. But I would prefer it to come from centre-half personally, as you say.
You still there? Ian? Yeah. Oh, I think Ian's disappeared.
But you look at the Italians who have the goalkeeper as a captain as well, who says it. So
Buffon.
Yeah, and it just it changes all the time. But you know, I can understand where the caller, you know, what he's alluding to. But as you said, Steven Gerrard, probably one of the best captains in Liverpool's history as a midfield player. I think whoever you are as a captain needs to lead by example. Steven Gerrard got all the plaudits for dragging Liverpool through games at times. You know, and you need to have a quality about you. It doesn't matter what position it is.
Ian, great. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go on to Dave, who's going to finish off the Radio City Legends for this Thursday evening. Evening, Dave.
Evening, boys. Just one question for Sharp. It would be a bit. I know we've probably had a few callers over the last couple of weeks, whatever, about Everton's big summer and, you know, this big summer transfer window and what's going to come in, what's going to go out. I mean, the big talking point for myself will be the goalkeeper. I mean, I know it's probably been shared across, you know, the last couple of weeks and that, but it's definitely going off what the last caller just said there. You need someone that gives a bit of authority from the back four, like the way through the span of the team.
Yeah.
And it's just a question to Sharpie, who would you go for?
Oh, David, I tell you what, there's been a few mentioned. I think the ones that are mentioned are the boy Foster at Southampton, who the manager's worked with before. You look at the boy Heaton at Burnley, who's done well. Me, from what I've seen, like I like Schmeichel at Leicester.
Yeah.
I think he's a decent age. You know, he still can improve as a goalkeeper. So listen, there's a few out there. I'm sure the manager will have his own ideas of maybe abroad goalkeepers who are playing abroad at this moment in time, but the ones that spring to mind are in this country, the ones I've mentioned, Foster, Heaton at Burnley. Go on.
Would you say gamble on Pickford? I mean, I know people, a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon. He's took Sunderland down and they're starting with it, but I think you can't blame the one player for the relegation of, like, you know, the whole team. No. I think, I mean, look at City, they took a gamble on Joe Harton, who was only 23 back then. You know, if you build a team that's solid at the back, you know, a young centre-half, maybe Michael Keane coming in, you know, it's exciting, obviously.
I think you're right. But I think what you've got to be careful of as well is that, you know, you talk about how important that those positions are. You know, so you want, if you've got a young centre-half back there pairing, you want a bit of experience behind them with a goalkeeper. So do you go with, like, three players and, you know, two centre-backs and the goalkeeper as young players who are willing to mistake? Or are they going to go for experience? Fraser Foster's got the experience out of those three. Listen, the Joe Hart situation as well, that'll be an interesting one as well, because he's coming back and it's who's going to buy him. So it will be a busy summer. Joe Hart might come back in the equation. I know before he went over to Italy, he was mentioned for Everton, so we'll just have to wait and see. But whoever it is, you know, we need an authoritative goalkeeper, somebody who makes himself fit, his presence felt. He needs to be commanding. I just think the two we've got at the moment are much of a muchness. And
well,
I think
we've got two very good number twos, and that's what we've got in our squad at the minute, two very good number twos. We haven't got an out-and-out number one. But to finish it off, boys, do you think it's going to be an Everton v Liverpool battle for players this summer?
For players, right, you'll have to answer this quickly.
Yeah, could well be.
Same sort of players in the mix.
Mm. I think Liverpool and Everton looking for for similar positions, yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. Dave, thank you very much indeed. Some quick thoughts. It's Cash for Kids Superhero Day tomorrow. We're raising money for an incredible cause. It's When You Wish Upon a Star. Please do get involved throughout the course of the day. Tune into Radio City.
We're
going
to play golf with someone, are we? Again?
Well, on Superhero Day.
Well, I was not.
Who would you dress up as?
Are
your favourite superhero? Your mate Seamus, the wrestler?
No, Spidey. Spider-Man. Yeah.
Sharpie? You're not that fun, are you?
Batman.
Get away with you. See you tomorrow morning, you 7 o'clock, email. Radio City Talk, and Legends back next week.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.